97.5, The Fanatic.
Joining us now on the Comcast Business Hotline from Inside the Birds, a man who I absolutely love to follow on Twitter all year round, but from the months of like February through early May, he is one of the best, if not the best guys to follow when it comes to Eagles draft coverage, college football draft coverage, and so much more. Again, joining us from Inside the Birds on the Comcast Business Hotline, that would be our man, Andrew DiCecco. Andrew, thank you so much for taking some time this Sunday afternoon. I'm sure you are probably wiped after all the draft coverage, so thank you for joining us today.
Well, I love the Of Wolf and Man Metallica intro.
There you go. I knew you were a man of good music taste.
I'm doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you taking some time to join us today. First and foremost, how was the draft weekend for you? I know you do a ton of draft coverage leading up to it, but this weekend was probably a blur for you like it was for me. Have you gotten a chance to get some sleep at least?
Last night was the first night, Tyler, to be honest with you, that I got some sleep. But, yeah, it's a lot of work in the phones, keeping up with where a lot of guys are going, seeing what you're seeing where a lot of guys are going to be placed and trying to keep up with everything because it's a mad dash. And then the undrafted free agency mad dash is a whole thing in itself. You're trying to keep up with that, and guys are signing instantly after the draft. So it was sort of like a never-ending whirlwind.
So I said this to Matt before the show began today, and during the show I said, you are somebody who follows the college game, who follows the NFL, who is locked in to the draft more so than I am. And Matt said to me, is that possible? And I said it is, because this man does a ridiculous amount of work. So let's dive into this draft a little bit, if you don't mind. And obviously, the big talk, we know that Jordan Davis is the first-round pick. They move up two spots to get Jordan Davis. But the big talk of the city, I think, over the last 48 hours is the 83rd overall pick in the selection of N'Kobe Dean. Now, obviously, there are the injury conversations that have taken place, and it's assuming why he has fallen. But are you as intrigued and excited about the N'Kobe Dean selection as most of us have been, especially with where he was selected with the 83rd pick?
Absolutely. And barring, had to do with medical. Obviously, he had the pec injury, the knee tendonitis. He tore his labrum at one point. So that was probably the only reason why he dropped as far as he did. But he really fell into the Eagles' lap, and the Eagles had to sprint to the podium to turn in that card. I mean, when you're getting a guy who is what many envision Davion Taylor to be, is this sideline-to-sideline, rangy type of player. He had 6 sacks last season, 10.5 tackles for loss. He's a playmaker, and the Eagles are going to be a lot more dynamic and explosive at that second level with him there. And by all accounts, Tyler, he's going to be ready to contribute this season, and that's very encouraging when you look at what the Eagles have currently to work with at the linebacker position. And they also added another player in Kyron Johnson later in the draft, I think, that can help as well as far as being that explosive, speedy type of guy with some coverage acumen to him.
So you bring up Kyron Johnson, and that's a player that I have very little knowledge of, if I admit to you, just simply because I cannot, in good conscience, watch Kansas football if I do not have to. But I'm glad that you bring him up. Obviously, they trade back in the draft, and we're going to get to him in just a second. To me, it felt like when the Seattle Seahawks took Tariq Woolen at 153, how quickly the Eagles traded back indicated that may have been their guy at 154. Did you kind of see it that way as well?
Yeah, that's kind of, as soon as I saw that, I mean, I don't think the Eagles envisioned Tariq Woolen to be there. I certainly didn't. I thought both him and Zion McCollum, they have the similar type of dimensions, very athletic, lengthy type of players with high ceilings. I thought they were going to go late 3, early 4. So I think that the Eagles probably didn't envision him being there. And then as soon as he got plucked, sort of, they traded back, and they were able to still get a couple of players that are going to be intriguing to keep an eye on this summer in training camp.
So speaking of now and we're speaking with Andrew DiCecco on the Comcast Business Hotline, with Kyron Johnson at 181, they obviously moved back up a couple of spots to make him the selection. There has kind of been a little bit of a movement on social media, if you will, over the last 48 hours or so with his pick, with the signing of Hassan Reddick, obviously Jordan Davis being the big man in the middle. What's the thought process behind of a potential, maybe not a full shift, but kind of a hybrid shift to a 3-4 situation this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's very interesting. And a lot of the picks sort of indicated that. You look at Kyron Johnson, who he's not to fight to make the team, but he would fit really well in that Sam linebacker role behind Hassan Reddick. You have you added Jordan Davis, who's that space eater in the middle. You added Noah Ellis as a undrafted free agent. He still has to make the team, but he's 6'4", 346, something like a Tony Siragusa type of size. So when you start to look at some of the personnel that they sort of compiled this offseason, you're starting to kind of see the defense that Jonathan Gannon sort of envisioned when he first took the job, and how it's going to be interesting to see how all these pieces fit in. But yeah, I mean, when you look at what they've already added, it really lends itself favorably to, you know, the 3-4.
One of the intriguing things that I really love about what you've done in your coverage over this this past couple of months is you've done you've gotten deep dives and conversations with guys that maybe aren't the big names, right? They're not the first two rounds, and they're not N'Kobe Deans. And I know you've spoken to Zion McCollum, and you've spoken to a bunch of different guys in their kind of path to the draft. Was there anybody for you, maybe that the Eagles did or didn't get a chance to select, that really intrigued you for this team heading into the draft?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I thought that they were going to have a chance to get a guy like Zion McCollum, who wasn't, by all accounts, shouldn't have been there when the Eagles were on the clock at 154. I thought that he has the length and the upside, the athleticism. He ran a 4.33 at the NFL Scouting Combine. I thought that he was going to be really custom built to hold that perimeter spot down. May not have been ready to contribute immediately as a rookie, but I thought that his upside was immense. And you sort of roll the dice on a player like that and bet on the upside. So I kind of thought that they had a chance to add a corner right there. But you know what? And then undrafted, I thought that Dejon Dixon, the receiver who I spoke to from Nicholls State, 6'4", 220, he plays an above-the-rim style of football. You know, I thought that he was really going to be like an intriguing red zone type of option, between the hashes, possession type of guy. He's not overly fast, but I thought he would have been an interesting guy to look at in the summer, as far as, you know, you look at the Eagles receiving core right now, they don't offer a ton of size. So he would have been somebody that I kind of would have looked at as an undrafted free agent.
Yeah, speaking of the undrafted free agents, I think that, to be quite fair, I think that they've done a really good job this offseason of bringing in and signing a bunch of guys that may be able to be some, you know, at some point in their careers, contributors to this team. And I know that you've talked about this one guy in particular. He's the only player that of the Eagles, of the undrafted free agents that the Eagles didn't get, that I would have been thrilled with, and that was Marquise Bell, the safety. Besides him, when you take a look at the undrafted list, I think that this has an opportunity to have some contributors amongst it. Anybody in particular on that grouping that you are specifically intrigued with?
Yeah, on the Marquise Bell, the Eagles actually tried to bring him in, but apparently Dallas was a little bit more aggressive. They lost out on that, and Dallas did host him on a top 30 visit, so he opted to go that route. But yeah, he would have been an interesting guy, and I think he probably could have taken that last safety spot, because I think he is that good, a little bit more of a project. But yeah, there's a ton of guys that they've signed as an undrafted free agent, or reportedly, because it hasn't been named official yet.
Sure.
I always wait for the team release. But right now, I would say Josh Jobe, who I had a fifth-round grade on, 5'11", 180 pounds. He's a physical player. He's good on special teams. He has really good anticipation, but he doesn't have the top-end speed. So in my opinion, I think he could get some looks at safety, perhaps. Mario Goodrich, I had a sixth-round grade on him, the cornerback from Clemson, 4'5", speed type of guy, physical, lengthy, good eye discipline, play recognition. We talked about Noah Ellis. He's 6'4", 346 from Idaho. The Eagles gave him $240,000 in guaranteed money and that $10,000 signing bonus. So that tells you right there that they're really interested interested in giving him a long look at the roster. And he's actually the younger brother of current Eagles linebacker Christian Ellis, and his dad was Luther Ellis, who was a former Lions defensive lineman. And then Kennedy Brooks, Tyler.
Yes, that's one I'm very intrigued with.
Yeah, the Eagles didn't do anything to address the running back position in the draft, but I think after the draft, you're seeing a guy that they threw a lot of money at, also $240,000 in guaranteed money. He's not a burstful type of running back. He's not gonna be a home run hitter. He runs about a 4.6, but I mean, he had 1,000 yards in his first season, 1,250 yards last year. I think he's very fluid when he switches gears. He's proven to be durable. And, you know, I think he has underwhelmed as a receiver, but there's a place in the NFL for a guy like that. And when you look at what the Eagles currently have at running back, behind Miles Sanders, you have Boston Scott and you have Kenny Gainwell. And I think they really need a big-bodied power running back. They lack that dimension to their stable right now. And I think he gives them that presence. Now we'll have to see if he takes the opportunity and runs with it, no pun intended. But I really like what he can bring. And he's another guy that I think is going to get a lot of opportunities in the preseason to prove that he belongs.
Last football question, because I got to get you this music question as well, because I know you're a big music guy. As well as both Matt and I are. The last football-related question, and we're speaking to Andrew DiCecco on the Comcast Business Hotline here, is the one position that, or the one skill group, if you will, that really did not get addressed, and we talked a little bit about Joby, and we talked a little bit about Goodrich, who may fill some roles for this team over the course of the summer and into the preseason specifically. The one grouping that really hasn't been touched upon was the secondary, defensive back, corner, and safety. Now, obviously, this team has been kind of paired with Tyrann Mathieu over the last few weeks. It seems that he's got another meeting or interview or whatever you want to call it today or soon with the New Orleans Saints. What is your feel about the secondary position now that we're through the draft and we're kind of looking at a team that's very much the same as it was prior to the draft?
Yeah, you're right, and it's kind of on shaky ground right now. I think the cornerback spot is even more dire than the safety spot. Right now they have Zach McPherson slated to be the second corner on this team, and then you have guys like Tay Gowan and Kerry Vincent and you know, go down the line there. But, I mean, I don't know that the Eagles intend on moving forward with these guys as the second corner. Maybe they do. Maybe they really think highly of Zach McPherson. But I'll also say this. Ronald Darby was acquired in the 11th hour before the 2017 season, so there's always that. I wouldn't shut the door on that option. And then the safety spot, they really like Marcus Epps, but I think at this point of his career, Anthony Harris is best suited as a third safety. He's more of a box player, doesn't have the range or the long speed. So I have to think if the Eagles have some sort of a plan there at safety. I just don't know what it is. Maybe Tyrann Mathieu is their ultimate plan, and he's just doing his due diligence right now. But or maybe a trade's coming. Who knows? But I have to think that they're not going to go into the season with Anthony Harris and Marcus Epps as their starting safety tandem.
All right, I've got to ask you, because I know outside of your NFL, your draft coverage, one of the things that you're very proud of is all your interviews that you've done with throes of different musicians spanning different genres. But I know you're a rock guy as well. So Matt and I were talking about this a little bit before you joined us today. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the band North Lane at all. They're a little bit of a, I get the way that I described it is kind of like an electronic metal core, if you will. And I know that's a lot to kind of describe one band with, but they recently dropped an album that I was a little bit underwhelmed with, if I'm being honest. And I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but I know you being a big music guy, have you had an album recently released or, you know, whenever to be fair, that you were highly anticipating that was a little bit disappointing for you?
That's a good question.
Well, I know I'm putting you on the spot. I apologize.
I wouldn't consider it recent. I wouldn't consider it a recent album, but me being a big Metallica fan, I wasn't previously privy to Saint Anger. So I thought everything that Metallica was great. So I bought Saint Anger and I listened to it and I said, the drums are awful. The songs aren't there. It's grown on me a little bit over time, but it almost sounds like a glorified demo. I was kind of underwhelmed with that one.
Sure. I know a lot of people feel the same way. Andrew, don't want to take up any more of your time. I know that you have a ton of sleep to catch up on still. Big thank you to you for joining us today. I continue to shout you out as much as I can on Twitter because I love your coverage, both with Inside the Birds and with your coverage on the draft, the Eagles, and so much more. Can't thank you enough for taking some time to join us today.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, Tyler. Take care.
Have a good one. Andrew DiCecco joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. He joins us from Inside the Birds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.